This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester United's thrilling back-and-forth win over Arsenal at Old Trafford, and what was going through new manager Ralph Rangnick's mind as he watched from the stands. Plus Liverpool's Merseyside masterclass at Goodison Park over a hapless Everton. Chelsea and Man City keeping pace with away victories at Watford and Aston Villa. And Tottenham's key win over Brentford to stay within touching distance of the top four. All that and more coming up. All right, Robbie Earle. Only one place to start. Old money of English football. Manchester United versus Arsenal. Man United found a way to win 3-2. A game that had a little bit of everything. Wow. Good atmosphere at Old Trafford, Rob. Yeah. Ralf Rangnick, of course, the new manager, interim. That's going to be in charge from tomorrow onwards, was in the stands watching the game. Let's before we talk about him, let's go to the game, Rob. And yeah. Give me some kind of big picture thoughts of the match in general.
Well, we had quite incredible goal that was scored that people weren't sure what should have happened, what did happen. But I think we got to the right result in the end. I thought Martin Axon had a good game today and VAR played its part. We'll talk about that goal in a moment. We'll talk about Arsenal, and I want to talk about them because we didn't get much time on the broadcast in terms of starting the game. I thought missed an opportunity to really push home their advantage when they were 1-0 up. United were a bit thrown out by their first goal, and I thought Arsenal allowed United back into the game. We have to talk Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, 800 goals, Robbie Musto. 801 goals for club and country.
Staggering.
And we have to talk about Ralph Rangnick coming in, Michael Carrick moving on, and the football club starting to go in a very different, maybe more serious direction. So those are my headlines, Rob. But what I thought was, and you said it, you know, two old money clubs. These two used to be the best we had in the country. This used to be one and two generally, you know, with two great managers. And they're both a bit below where they want to get to. Both trying to get back in very different ways. I think there's hope for Manchester United. I think a 3-2 win tells you everything about United. These goals, these threats, but these things that need addressing. And I think Ralph Rangnick will sit there and know that. But I think there's enough to work with, Rob, for this Manchester United team to look for a top four spot. That's got to be the aim right now.
Yeah, and there is a lot to work with, a lot to take in from him as well, Rob, given the way that he tries to play is very different to what we saw from Manchester United tonight. Just quick on the incidents, Rob, and I don't know whether we do need to clear up the first goal. I think most people kind of agreed that the goal should stand.
Yeah.
Fred, it was who stepped on the foot of David De Gea, who goes to ground and rolls away from the play. The ball comes out and Emil Smith-Rowe hits it first time almost and he goes in the back of the net. And the referee, I think, looks up and thinks, wow, goalkeeper's down. But before he can do anything, the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
In a normal situation, I think when a goalkeeper's down like that, the referee would blow the whistle and allow him to get treatment. So I think we brought, you know, again, like I think the consensus is that that's kind of fair play.
Yeah.
What we said is like from David De Gea's point of view, maybe he thought, Rob, that the referee would spot him.
Yeah.
But there was no imminent immediate danger by going and rolling around. That was his mistake.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if the ball would have been passed somewhere else, then flipped into the box, the referee would have blown the whistle and the play would have stopped. The game would have stopped. But it didn't. And it was a risk I think he took. That was a bad decision. Where really, Rob, he should just get on with it.
Get back up, and you know, even if he got an injury, defend the ball that comes in, get a bit of treatment, and we move on. But it was a goal that went behind, and it set a tone, and Arsenal started to look a little bit more comfortable in possession. territory, played a little bit better football. And I just thought at that time, I want to just bring in the Arsenal line. Well, I thought it was a day of learning for Arsenal today. I thought, you know, it's a young group who are coming together, have had a good run. We'll beat by Liverpool and we'll be disappointed to be beaten by Manchester United. But there's a number of players in there who are growing into Arsenal players, growing into Premier League players, putting their careers together. And I just thought they missed an opportunity at 1-0. I thought individual errors, Tavares gets caught out of position to let United in on the second goal, I think, for Ronaldo. Odegaard scored a goal to bring them level, then does a rash challenge on Fred, panics a little bit because Fred gets ahead of him. And those are things which, in a way, I was kind of saying to myself, you've got to go through that learning sometimes to figure it out. It's okay people saying we should do this, we should do that. But I think it's those kind of learnings, it's those kind of experiences that stand you in good stead for down the road. And there's enough good things still going on at Arsenal that Mikel Arteta can work with. But I thought a day of learning is important for young players as long as, you know, you're not making those mistakes on a regular basis.
What's good, Rob, that we can bring to our broadcasting and this podcast is being in situations and playing against teams that that have what this Arsenal team is going to have to try and get. And that's all we can do. We can think back about great sides and how they get through difficult periods. Yeah. And I wrote down, actually, on my notes watching the game in the second half, maybe lacked a bit of mentality, leadership and experience. So same stuff as what you're suggesting, like the great teams, the teams that end up winning stuff, find ways through bad periods.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure you get two or three players in a game, particularly against the big boys. They've lost against all the big boys, really, making mistakes. That can't happen again. Tavares has to learn quickly, Rob.
He did against Liverpool, didn't he, recently? Yeah.
Odegaard's got to learn not to get the wrong side and then slide in to make a challenge that we're like, oh, that's going to be a penalty.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's leadership, whether it is a winning mentality, a steel, a durability that they need to go with, some talent and some silky play, and we know the manager wants to play that way, but that's something now that he's got to work on. Be consistent, be tough. Like, that's it's tough. Old Trafford away. When they're behind, they come roaring back at you out of desperation. Their game is always better. And it's just a learning experience and what they need. They're not anywhere near what they potentially could be with some of these young players. But that was just an example of sometimes you've got to roll your sleeves up, right, and slide in and track runners and have a go at your teammates to stay in the game. Or you have to have the courage to take the ball and to say, no, give me the ball. Come on, let's play. Let's play and get United, like they did at the start, by the way. Arsenal started the game really well, but they scored it and they dropped off. And that's happened a few other times, Rob. I think I definitely remember saying it on the podcast that they look great and then they kind of just switch off from the game. So again, these little lessons that they need to learn are not huge issues, but a reason why they lost the game.
Yeah, and then sometimes you have to go through tough times, come out the other side. And I think that is part of learning. And you know, you're learning in the job. You're not going to be pulled out of the side. It's not one of those situations where you make a mistake, you're out. You make a mistake, now you've got to learn and get better. And I thought that was hopefully will be a pleasing thing for Arteta, that his team are learning. Going back to Manchester United, Rob, and Pablo Maestro, who was hosting the show today, I thought came up with it with an interesting suggestion when he sort of asked us both off air, you know, if a manager's sitting up there, the new guy's coming in, and we knew Ralph Rangnick, we'd had pictures that he was there, he was watching the game, does that affect your performance in any way? Because he said, you know, if one of our bosses at work was in, would you start thinking about it? And I thought that was quite an interesting point because, you know, I'm sure if you knew the boss was in the building, if I was playing and Ralph Rangnick's there, I'm going to be busting a gut, Rob, to make sure that this guy thinks, I need Earl in my team. Earl gives me something. Earl drives on. Earl follows runners. So I think it was a little bit like, you know, one or two were on show for the manager to show what they can do. And I thought one or two showed up well, really. And I think there'll be things that he certainly can work with. But obviously, there's certainly things that I think he'll want to work on with this team because, again, the press at times isn't that coordinated. They're comfort in possession sometimes isn't as good as you'd like for a team as technically good as United could be. But there is moments, they've got a great goal scorer, they've got a bit of shape, and at times every now and then it clicks and you start thinking, oh, that's better. That's how it could look on a more regular basis?
I think it's pretty obvious that between Bruno Fernandes and Cristiano Ronaldo, as a 9 and a 10, super talented players, got the goals today, made it happen. I think there was bonuses in Alex Telles and Diego Dalot as well, to be fair, Rob, the fullbacks that aren't the normal fullbacks, thought they did pretty well. I'll tell you where I was disappointed today. I've been disappointed for a little while now, and it's such a critical part of the team. Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, Robbie Earl, the wide forwards of Man United, are not giving what you would expect from a top club and so-called, you know, top players. When you consider some of the other attacking wide forwards in the other clubs and what they do consistently, Rashford and Sancho is, whether it's going to be those two in the wide areas or Ralf Rangnick, is almost the first. I mean, there's a ton of things to do, but getting those two more involved, more productive, more consistently involved in the game has got to be a really important part of the new manager role, because those two flashes, but not enough.
Well, they were the threat at Chelsea, as we did a breakdown today, and we talked about them on the counter-attack. Beyond moments. But I actually think, and I don't disagree with your point, but I actually think the structure of the team and being in better starting positions when we have the ball will help them. The moment I see them sometimes wandering around and chasing, and they're a bit all over the place, Rob.
Yeah,
kind of feel like once it's a bit more settled and they've got a good starting position, and you know, if you're trying to say, you know, if you think of a Mo Salah, Mo generally is in the top half of the pitch. He'll do his closing down and whatever in the last third, but he isn't necessarily running back that far. And I'm not saying Rashford or Sancho is the Mo Salah, not that goal creation, but I always think with wide players, if you get good starting positions, good positions where you know where you've got to be defending, you know those roles, it doesn't help your game, gives you a little bit of, right, this is where I need to be. Okay, when we win the ball, I'm on the front foot and I'm going at somebody. And I think some of that will help the structure, will help those players who have got individual talent, who can be match winners. At the moment, I just feel a bit all over the place. They haven't got a designated role.
Mm. Just going back to Cristiano Ronaldo, Rob, and I think we have to just take a breath and think about what this player has done. 801 goals is insanity, Rob. Good clubs, big games, big competitions, national team. I mean, Rob, I didn't even play that. That's way more goals than I even play. I mean, a sign of the man that is still as hungry and as sharp and as loving scoring goals now than his first goal, I'm sure, way back at the start of his career. I mean, it's an astonishing achievement, Rob, isn't it?
It is, and we take things for granted, and people, you know, there was people at the start of the season when the signing was, oh, he's going to hold United back, oh, it's not good news for United. There's nothing bad, and I say that, there's nothing bad about Cristiano Ronaldo being at Manchester United, nothing bad whatsoever. I mean, his goals alone, but his influence, his hunger, his desire, the way he looks after himself, the way he carries himself. Michael Carrick talked about it, even when he was dropped. He did. He responded in the right way. It's incredible, the number of goals. It's incredible, the quality of goals. And I think a coach like Ralf Rangnick coming in the next 6 months will find the best way to continue to get the best out of Ronaldo. Absolutely, he will be part of the plans going forward.
Well, this is going to be a very awkward transition, Robbie Earl, to my underappreciated performer, who, kind of the other end of the scale in terms of superstar talent and appreciation in the game. But I thought Fred, and I'm not his biggest fan, but I'll always give a player credit where credit's due. I thought he had a sneaky good game, Robbie Earl, with the way that he affected the game. Okay, he stepped on his goalkeeper's foot. That was not a great start to injure a goalkeeper, and then they concede a goal. But he came back into a game. Yes, he gave some long passes away. That frustrates me, and he should be better than that. But his mentality to keep going, to making those runs into the box, he got the assist for Bruno Fernandes' first goal. He then makes another run where he forces a penalty kick. There's various times where he got back, and I remember a sliding change to a shot late on where Arsenal had an opportunity in the inside right position. Fred, for all the stick that he gets from all quarters, by the way, all quarters, under that pressure at that stadium, a home game like that, still pops up with an important performance that affected affected the result of the game. He's not a Cristiano Ronaldo, and that's why it's kind of a, in all, and I listen, we'd all give it Ronaldo, but he's uber appreciated and rightly so. But this is underappreciated, and yep, maybe I don't a lot of the time appreciate fully Fred, but I thought today a very effective little game in the midfield for a player that's been under a ton of pressure. So I'm giving it to Fred this midweek.
And that's a very good shout, my friend, because actually I watched the game back against Chelsea the weekend. He was very good there and he was nicking balls and he's starting things up. I think I once said every team needs a Fred, Robbie Musgrave. Yeah. And Manchester United have got one. For all the Ronaldos and Brunos and Rashfords and Sanchos, somebody's got to do some work in there to win the ball back, to follow runners and do, track and do stuff. And you're right, he doesn't often get the headlines. Certainly won't be winning too many Man of the Matches, but good shout, underappreciated.
Let me just have one more point on that. You know, sometimes you fall victim of your teammate or your team. Mm. Fred is with McTominay, and they're kind of similar. They're not glamorous. They're not top-end central midfield players. If Fred, right, just as an example, if Fred played with a fully flipping zoned in Paul Pogba, where Pogba's doing all the running and Fred's making the interceptions and tackling, knocking the ball, he'd get a ton more recognition. But because it's what they call him, McFlipping, what they call him?
McFred.
You know, McFred. It's a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm just saying in a different situation, he wouldn't be kind of sometimes ridiculed unfairly on him if he played with somebody else who was a star player and his role was much more appreciated. Anyway.
Okay, my friend, enough Fred love for one episode. Let's move on to the Merseyside derby because...
Hang on a minute. Should we just give a tiny bit of love for Michael Carrick?
Oh, yeah, go. Good shout.
No, if a player that we both played against, really good midfield player, did a great job for Manchester United, won a bunch of titles and stuff like that. And to be fair, he's been on the coaching road for a little while now.
15 years at the football club.
Yeah. Are you surprised he did this today?
I was surprised. Yeah. He said in the interview that we saw after, and the players said that it was his decision. He wanted to step aside, which is very much tells you about the man, that he puts the football club first and thinks it's better that maybe he doesn't have an opinion on things and that Ralph Rangnick comes in and sees it with his own eyes. And I think that's a brave and honourable thing to do. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen him stay, Rob. I would have liked to have seen him learn for 6 months under somebody who's supposedly one of the best operators out there, who's worked with Klopp and Nagelsmann and some of the best. Yeah. I just think that might be an opportunity that he misses wherever he's going to end up in his career. But I think there seemed to be a loyalty to Ollie and that regime, and he felt as though it was the right thing to do. Now, time will tell whether that seems to be the thing.
Absolutely right. And we'll see whether he ends up regretting it. He also said he wanted to spend time with his family. I think it's difficult when you finish playing and you get straight back into that world and you're away at weekends again for the wife and the kids. It's not ideal. So I understand that. But hopefully he'll come back at some point.
I liked what I've seen. I think there's a manager in there if he wants to go down that route.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
So we will move it on to the Merseyside derby. Much anticipated game. I think there was a little worry from the Everton fans if Liverpool really opened up on them. There was a little bit of bad blood still circulating from the game last season with the Van Dijk injury due to the Pickford tackle. And Jurgen Klopp, Rob, we have to say probably the first thing in there. He put it out there, didn't he? We saw a before the game interview, and he put it out there that, you know, he thought there was some, in his words, dirty challenges that weren't looked at by the referee, and that's the reason that his players got injured and possibly played its part in Liverpool's topsy-turvy season last year. So everything was sort of to play for, and in the end, Liverpool just showed, I thought, their class and their maturity in possible difficult circumstances away from home. What you said about Arsenal, you know, getting through difficult times in difficult places, Liverpool have got Liverpool can handle Europe and domestically. They can handle being under stress, being under pressure, difficult moments, and come through with aplomb and goals to spare from all over the front line.
I mean, I think it's probably the most dominant Merseyside derby in terms of Liverpool, Rob, that I think I've seen for a long time. I mean, Everton tried their very best, and there was a moment when they get the goal back to 2-1 where they had a little rally up and the fans were great at Goodison Park and try to get behind the team. But of course, they go in for half time and we're like, that's great. And Rafa needed that a little bit. But I still think there's a strong sense of this Liverpool team. I mean, some of the football they played, Rob, and some of the goals, some of the finishes, Mo Salah's finish at pace, where he has to open himself up and redirect the ball and find a little angle around him. Running at pace is amazing. Jordan Henderson's goal as well, bent with his left foot into the corner, was stunning. Their football going forward now is so far ahead of the others. It's scary. It really is scary, Rob, the way that they are creating. The actual individuals are at peak level. Diogo Jota, again, what a signing that is, and what a player that could score so many goals for this club over a period of years. And that was the main story. Liverpool, stunningly good. Everton had that little bit of hope, Rob, with that goal. But again, in the second half, Salah takes over, Jota gets involved, and it's just an attacking quality that I think is quite rare, Rob, isn't it? Like, we get past from Man City. Yeah. You know, even in the past, I mean, that the front line of Sturridge and Luis Suarez and Raheem Sterling. Yeah, yeah. And looking back to other front lines that have been brilliant. Of course, the way that City play at times with Aguero and De Bruyne. Yeah. But
there was a bit of joke for Robin on the Chelsea days. Remember that? For Robin, maybe Joe Cole or Gudjonsson, that kind of thing, where threats come from all different players. They've all got a different profile. They all can hurt you in their own way. Yeah. You think you've got, you know, you plug Bobby Firmino into that as well, Rob, so that, you know, what Jota gives is a great versatility that he can play in a number of those spots. So if somebody needs a rest, if somebody's off form, somebody gets injured or suspended or whatever, it's like for like quality.
And he brings it means two, Rob, isn't it? It means they have to get two injured players before they put out a slightly weakened front three because of Jota's ability to play in different spots. Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about it, in midfield as well, they've got cover in midfield, Thiago. I thought the midfield three, Rob, I think I said it on the show.
Yeah, it's kind of
familiar now. And Jordan's runs to the right and Thiago getting on the ball and Fabinho doing his role. I think there's a little understanding now that they're developing with the reps that, again, is good because Thiago's, what he brings is very different to the other two players. Now, the protection might not be as strong, and that's something Liverpool have to be a little bit careful of. But the three of them doing different things, by the way, absolutely different things, worked well together and will continue to work well together, as long as, I guess, Thiago can stay healthy.
And just on that point, my friend, you lead me very nicely into my underappreciated performer of the week. And a bit like Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United, you would think Mo Salah or Diogo Jota maybe gets the headlines. But I'm going for my good old buddy.
Oh, not again.
My good old buddy, Captain Jordan Henderson, my friend.
How many times have you... You must have had him 25 times underappreciated.
And he will continue to be underappreciated as long as... And we did a little breakdown, Rob, and sometimes we get a chance to get things on air if we can. And we often, you know, are always asking our VT, can you put this together? And we had a shot of Jordan Henderson before the game. Focused, concentrated.
Yeah.
Jurgen Klopp would talk about emotional control and they didn't want his players to lose that and get caught up in physical fights. But Jordan Henderson led the way. We see him down that right-hand side, Rob, almost showing a little bit more creativity than we've seen in the past, playing nice balls. And we saw the finish for the first goal. It sets up the game, foot finish. We see him now and then barking orders to one or two whose standards might just drop. I just feel he's the epitome of what Jurgen Klopp wants in a captain and the way his team plays. And I go back to a question that I think I asked you a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it was on the potty or just, I think we were in student. I said, is Jordan Henderson a Liverpool great? Is he in with those greats? Because Liverpool have had some great, great players and Gerrard and Dalglish and Rush and Souness are in there. Is Jordan Henderson starting to be... Is Jordan Henderson at least in the conversation for Liverpool great? And that is a very, very high-end exclusive group.
It is a very high and exclusive group, and I would say he's in the conversation, Rob. Yeah, I mean, it's such a difficult group to get into. Mm. You know, if he can play like he's playing now, and he can lift another Premier League title or a Champions League title, if he's lifting that trophy, he's in, because it's just too much good stuff, and he's driving the team forward too much. It's just like that. It's such a hard question. Would you put him in as a Liverpool great right now, or does he need a little bit more? Or
I think I would. He delivered the title, or helped be part of the captain that delivered the title for 30 years. He's won a Champions League, the tournament that they think. Yeah. He continues to keep playing from a guy who, remember back in the day, Rob, when he signed from Sunderland, and people were sort of saying, I think Sir Alex Ferguson talked about his running gait. So, listen, great conversation and one for another day, but Jordan Henderson certainly my underappreciated performer and continues to be a big, big part of what Liverpool do. Just before we move on this one, mate, because there's a little bit of pressure maybe starting to turn on Rafa. No wins in the last 8 Premier League matches. A little bit of concern, obviously, being an ex-Liverpool manager, that was always going to come up. But I think we both believe, A, he should be given more time, and B, that he will be given time. But there are some problems at Everton, Rob, that go deeper than maybe just Rafa sitting at the side. It looks to me like in the past, mistakes in the past are starting to hurt them now.
That's right, because they have spent a lot of money over recent seasons and fired Mashiri in at the club. I think he always wanted to do that, and he put a lot of trust in his staff. Marcel Brands, and I think we all agree that it's good to have a fairly high profile, obvious director of football, takes control of that money for the most part. With his obvious backroom staff and the recruitment team. But I think when you look at, I've lost my list now, but when you look at some of the players who've come into the football club, for kind of, they spent a couple of seasons ago, there's kind of like a lot of $30 million players. Alex Iwobi, Moise Keane,
Alan,
Gibbamy was around $30 million. You had the wages, and you had the flamboyance of James Rodriguez that's trusted. And maybe that's to do with Carlo Ancelotti, but you know, a lot of money spent on players that haven't really done it. And this summer was a warning for me as like, we can't keep doing that because of financial fair play. We've got to find the finances to build a new stadium, which would be fantastic. And when you're only spending $2 million and you're bringing in Salomon Rondon and Andros Townsend, and Townsend's done great, by the way.
Yeah.
But he wasn't wanted at Crystal Palace. Then it's like, wow, Everton are having to pull the belts in. And Rafa Benitez is the guy that's got to try and get a tune from them all. When everybody's fit, which they will be in the next couple of weeks, we understand from Mashiri today, then they're going to improve. But right now, it's a tough job. And I'm not blaming Rafa Benitez right now for where they're at. They were mid-table the last two seasons, I think 10th season before that, 12th. So it's been no great shakes, and it's not a great squad of players to work with. But maybe he'll get some help in January. He'll get his best players back, and maybe they'll edge back to that area. You just worry. You look over your shoulder, Rob, and they're like 5 points in relegation zone. So
no, that looks to me. And owners get a bit twitchy if that gap starts to close. And you're right. I think there's many things. You look at. I did a little research. I was just thinking about the time that Jurgen Klopp. I think nearly 7 years now. Jurgen Klopp's been in charge of Liverpool. Everton have had 6 managers in that time: Martinez, Koeman, Allardyce, Silva, Ancelotti, Rafa Benitez, and you've got bits of players from all those times, and some unhappy, and some, it just feels so, but it's not like, somebody's got to be given some time to address the squad, to balance it out, and start putting something together.
But also, Rob, let me interrupt there, just Marcel Brands, like, he's been the common for a lot of them, Rob, and he's been the, you know, that's the whole point of having director of football, that this guy is trusted to bring in players that suit the football club and will suit the next few managers. Now, when those players don't work out and different managers have tried with those players, then, hang on a minute. Who was it? Yeah. So he should be under as much pressure as anybody else, particularly if Mashiri in the future wants to spend more money. Does he trust Marcel Brands again with it? I don't know. And that's why that position is accountable, like the head coach is, because it's pretty important stuff that he's trying to do to make this club much better.
Yep, work to do for Rafa. Hopefully you get Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who believes closer to fitness, Yerry Mina closer to fitness, get something like his best 11 out there, and they can be more competitive.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Let's move it to Villa Park, Aston Villa. Took on Manchester City, the return of Jack Grealish, amongst other things. Steven Gerrard, 2 wins in 2 in his first 2 Premier League games. Probably thought this Premier League pretty easy. Came up against one of the better teams, but still were competitive. Nolly Watkins made it a more interesting game, and he got the goal back for Villa that made it 2-1. But City's football in the end found a way. I mean, the Bernardo Silva finish, mate, was... right up there with it'll be in there as one of the goals of the season. So brilliant finish.
And in days like this, no one's talking about strikers, Robin.
Yeah,
and like in, you know, your belief all the way through this has been that Pep Guardiola will find a way to get people in the box. And we certainly have seen that in the last couple of matches where there's been like 4 players in the 6-yard box for a tap in. That he will find a way. Whoever plays, whoever it is, if it's a Gundogan, probably not going to get 13 goals, but it might be Bernardo Silva. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be a Raheem Sterling, a Riyad Mahrez, a Gabriel. It will spread the goals around. And this is another very good victory. First, kind of weird goal, isn't it? Ruben Diaz with a weird, awkward-looking shot that found its way in. And then the volley from Bernardo Silva was a stunning goal. So they keep doing it. And the football is so almost automatic now that... they're on a run now. I mean, they could totally go on a run and lose hardly anything.
It was this time last year, wasn't it? They went on that 20-odd game run and pretty much wrapped it up. And as you say, it looks like City can do that kind of thing again. Mm. Steven Gerrard will at least be pleased that his team were competitive. I think late on that Ederson had to come up with a decent save to stop Villa maybe getting an equaliser in that game. So I'm sure it's the kind of game that Stevie G knew that, you know, they're going to have to do well to get anything out of. But again, they've shown competitive. I think there's a bit of structure. You can start to see his influence on the game. Can you talk a little bit about Jack Grealish, Rob?
I wanted to talk about that. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
Jack Grealish was sub for Manchester City, came on in the second half for City at Villa. And a mixture, I'm not going to say was totally booed, but a mixture of some cheers, some boos, Rob, as Jack Grealish came on. Were you kind of okay with that?
Not really. No. I mean, of course, fans have got they pay their money, they can do whatever they want, right? Yeah. That's a given, of course. Yeah. I was surprised, Rob, given his obvious love for the football club. And when somebody comes in at $139 million and you got a chance to go to and work for Pep Guardiola at Manchester City, and I know it's tough for the Villa fans to accept it, but surely they understand that a local lad, I think he's been at the academy since he's 6 years old, he obviously loves the club. He's telling the other day how he's left the club in the dressing room, his tears in his eyes when he said he had to make the decision to leave the club. I thought it'd be the other way. I thought it'd be like he'd be getting plenty of appreciation what he's done. So that's why I think us and lots of other pundits and former players on radio shows and podcasts and TV broadcasts were really surprised with this reaction. They're a giant of a club, Aston Villa. Mm. We know that. We know what they've won in European football and English football. Tons of titles, Aston Villa. So I get that. And they sort of said, you've left a big club to go to Manchester City. I was still surprised, mate. I was still surprised. And he hasn't found it easy jumping from Villa to Man City. He doesn't get as much ball. He isn't quite so important and key. Mm. So everybody feeds him the ball at Villa. That's not the case at City. Mm. He's got to pop in and fill in his little spot and do his thing when he gets opportunities. That, he said, is what he's found difficult. But no. What about you, Rob? What do you think?
I was disappointed. Now, let me tell you why I was disappointed. Not least because, like you say, he's been in the academy. He's worked his way through. He got a big transfer fee for the football club that they can go and reinvest. But it wasn't like a Harry Kane situation. Like, oh, I'm not happy, contract, da, da, da. Aston Villa had put a clause in his contract to the value of money that they were accepting. Manchester City did the right thing, paid that money. So everything was above board. It wasn't one of them where down tools, I want to go to City.
No, I
would have understood then if the Villa fans go, hold on a minute, Jack. You know, you've been... Yeah. But he did everything the right way and still loves the football club. I believe he said his family still got Villa season tickets.
Yeah, sure, so, they will.
I was a little bit disappointed. I was a little bit disappointed in the Villa fans. And I hope that it might be just first-time reaction. Maybe the next time he goes there, there'll be a bit more appreciation for what he did at the football club. Because, you know, of course, he was a hero to many at Villa Park, and he's moved on. And, you know, he leaves the club in an honourable way. So, yeah, disappointed.
Question for you. One-word answer. Worst fan reaction. Brighton drawing against Leeds United and Harry and Graham Potter getting booed, or Jack Grealish getting booed. What was the worst fan reaction out of those two?
Jack Grealish getting booed. Mm. Jack Grealish getting booed. Yeah. That's a long time at a football club where you've given everything and been the guy. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, the Jack Grealish one just about sees it.
Okay.
Let's go to Watford. Watford-Chelsea. For a long period in this game, it was 1-1. But we have to say, actually, during this game, Rob, there was another emergency, wasn't there, with a fan in the stadium. And fortunately, the players, I think it was one of the players, actually, let the referee know. A bit similar to the situation we saw at Newcastle and Tottenham. Fortunately, the medical staff were there. They were able to deal with it. The match was suspended for a time. And I believe we're hearing that there's relative news that the person involved is doing reasonably well.
Stabilised,
in these circumstances. So, unfortunate circumstances which the game went. But Chelsea got the win in the end. It was important to them. It looked as though it was going to go 1-1 for a while, and Ziyech came on and ended up getting the winner. What do we take from Chelsea on this one, Rob? Consistency? Is there a little bit of a thought? Maybe they need to sort out that front line and get a little bit of rhythm and kind of consistent flow in those front three, or is swapping it about maybe what they're going to do all season?
I think they probably will, Robert. My main thoughts of this game was when I saw the Chelsea lineup, I'm like, oh, this could be a problem for Chelsea because a lot of reliables, leaders, consistent performers were on the bench. Like, you can't play everybody every single match, Rob. Look at the benches. Jorginho on the bench. Thiago Silva on the bench. Lukaku on the bench. You know, Hudson-Odoi's been good recently. Hakim Ziyech, who came on and won the game for them. Timo Werner hasn't been that important for them this season. But still, like, important players out and rested and out injured or whatever with N'Golo Kante as well. So I thought it was a tough one. It was a tough one for them. Thomas Tuchel said that they were lucky to get the 3 points. But it does go back to their squad. And Mason Mount fit again now, almost scored early on when he hits the post.
Yeah,
he gets his goal a little later. Hakim Ziyech off the bench. Of course, Pulisic started the game. Kai Havertz as well. Havertz hasn't really done it yet, has he? Kai Havertz hasn't really done it.
Yeah.
It's like Timo Werner. There's been flashes. Mm. But still, amongst the amount of talent they've got up there, they're getting the job done. I thought this was a really important 3 points for them.
Yeah,
because some of those players got a bit of a break, allow others to get back fit again. But they're in that kind of run at the moment where they're pretty consistent and pretty solid. This one was a tricky one, but they got through it.
I kind of feel like it'd be good to get Big Ron back in the team, central, and get that piece in place and then work out what's playing underneath him. Almost feels like, you know, he's been out and then he's been waiting, he's been on the bench. Just feel, I don't know if it'll be against West Ham this week, whether they'll throw them in or next week or two, but certainly like I feel like he could get back to leading that front line.
It freshens up, Rob, doesn't it? It freshens up the front line.
No, he wasn't in great goal scoring form, was he? Just before he got the injury, but you know, it's a fresh start, re-kicks it again. And I just think he does give them something different in that front line. You know, as much as Pulisic, as much as Havertz, as much as Werner have done a job up there, it just looks different, feels different when he's around.
Also a benefit from the rest, Rob.
Yeah,
he's injured. I get that, but he's resting. Hmm. He's had those few weeks to rest and recuperate. He's had a busy summer like everybody else. I think there was talk about him feeling a little tired over the last couple of months. So the rest with that injury, back in a training, obviously about ready to play again, I think we're doing good. I think it's a good time for him to come back and make an immediate impact.
Yeah, possibly against West Ham this weekend. Big game there at the London Stadium, the early kickoff on Saturday. Just before we move on, Rob, I just want to ask you, and obviously because of him being American, and I sat down with him last week, did an Inside the Mind with Christian Pulisic, and he opened up a little bit, started to, you know, give me a little few insights into where he is, and I was talking about where he prefers to play and getting minutes, and he said he's in decent shape now, we just need to get a consistent run of games. He started this game, Rob, maybe wasn't the best performance he's had in the blue of Chelsea, but Has he got to start delivering goals and assists to stay in this team if he's going to be one of those three places? And he said he doesn't mind any of those three that he plays. He even said he wouldn't mind playing on the right if he has to. But it actually, I kind of feel as though with the quality that they have and the potential of other players, to force the manager's hand to stay in the team, he's got to get the goals and assists. Or else I fear he's going to be a super sub.
Yes, I agree, Rob. I think at this particular moment in time with the forwards that are there, he has to persuade or convince Thomas Tuchel that he's more than a super sub. Because when he does come on, he looks a million bucks. He's sharp, he's quick, he gets by people really, really quickly. But when he has starts, then he doesn't seem to have the same threat or continued threat. Now, again, it's a little unfair. He's had a period of time out of the game. He is an incredibly talented footballer. And for most of the teams, he's going to be doing his thing regularly in a regular spot. But this club is different. It's a very, very high level and lots of attacking players at the club. So finding ways to be consistently affecting the game. I think I've said it a lot about Christian Pulisic. We know he's capable of amazing moments. He's got to persuade or convince his manager that he deserved to be one of the first guys out there, one of the first guys in that front three because of his consistent productivity. And that, you know, he's had a couple of starts recently and, you know, it's been okay. It's not easy, but that's got to be the challenge with him is a mental thing to be consistent. And that's not easy at a club like Chelsea, but it's true. He's got to do that. Else he'll be rotated in and out like all the others, to be fair. I mean, there's not really anybody set in stone, Rob, in those front three.
No.
Lukaku, probably, if he's fit and healthy, he'll probably be the number nine. But the two number 10s behind, I mean, Mount, I guess, probably will be the most solid in there. And the other place really is up for grabs with the other players they've got.
The last game we want to just dive in on, mate, is Tottenham at home to Brentford. Tottenham 2, Brentford 0. Another 3 points for Antonio Conte. Wasn't maybe as comfortable as he would like, but they got the job done. From Tottenham's point of view, 3 points, own goal, I think Caños with the first, and then the Youngman's Son, lovely finish, give and go, and he runs half the length of the pitch to tap home. Positives for Spurs, another 3 points, climbing the table. I think that's him in sixth, 22 points, right on the... Right on the shirt tails of the top four now. Still the only disappointment, Rob, and again, in our highlights package, I did it a couple of times. Harry Kane, one goal, one assist. That came in a Newcastle game early in the season. Can't seem to get his Premier League goals flowing at all.
Was he 23 goals last year?
14 assists.
14 assists last season. So that's kind of mystifying a little bit to have that much of a drop-off. But
scoring goals internationally as well, isn't he? You know, he goes away and gets 7 goals in 2 games. You think, he's going to kickstart again. It hasn't happened.
No, but I think it will. I think it will get back to regular scoring. Again, like they're scrapping their way through. Their game at Burnley, of course, at the weekend was postponed. They have to play Burnley in the matchup in the makeup game.
Yeah.
If they win that game, Robbie, they go to fourth. Same games played as everybody else. They got a fourth, Spurs, who himself said, you know, our level, we're not at a high level right now, but they're still finding ways. And they have got some good players there, good attacking players. And we know that Antonio Conte will create a foundation to this team to improve. He said it. He doesn't want the up and the down. He wants a stable base, which he'll be working on every day in training now, probably to the end of the season. So they're in a good spot. I saw the goal. His Reguilón got forward from wing back. He crossed the ball over to Heung-min Son for that second goal. I mean, I think we gotta carefully watch the steady progress of a man that knows how to win and knows how to coach a team that aren't at their best, nowhere near their best, and there will be new players coming in, and this team is nowhere near the finish article that he wants to see, Antonio Conte. But they win the game in hand against Burnley, who are the third worst team in the league right now. And they're in fourth spot above Arsenal and Spurs. So all to play for that fourth spot. Spurs will be there or thereabouts. I really think that.
And I think what one part of his makeup that doesn't get enough credit is his man management, Rob, because right now he's working with a group. And I think he probably in the privacy of his own office with his close staff will be thinking, half of these are not really my type. Half of these are not really who I want to go forward with. but he's got away. Keeping players on side, players committed to work for him. Like you say, he brings that organisation and a winning kind of spirit in the dressing room, and things continue. But I look at some of those players who were with him, Rob, and I'm thinking, in 12 months' time, I don't think they'll be at Tottenham if Antonio Conte is at Tottenham. Yeah. But he does a good job of not shutting the door on anybody, putting somebody
and,
out
and
the
making
door
them better. Making them better through teamwork and through organisation and shape. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, exciting times for Tottenham, maybe, to look ahead with Antonio Conte. Just some of the results, mate, rounding up. West Ham 1, Brighton 1. West Ham got the lead through Suchet. Brighton late equaliser through Neil Mopay. It's his first goal for a long while. Lovely overhead kick, got Brighton back into the game. So he'd have got cheered for that, I'm sure. Graham Potter wouldn't have got booed for that one, would he? Newcastle 1, Norwich 1. This was the interesting game, my friend, because I was watching the game and you were doing the broadcast, and then, what was it, like 10 minutes on the clock, Kieran Clark makes a mistake and then grabs Pookie back, and Newcastle card, down to 10 men after 10 minutes. And you saw Eddie Howe's face as if to say, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah, they're 6 points adrift, Rob, Newcastle.
Yeah, no, it's wins in 14.
It's kind of unthinkable to consider that they've got an incredible scrap just to stay in the division.
Burnley at the weekend, my friend.
Oh, blimey.
Is it?
Is that St. James's?
St. James's Park at home. That's it. If that isn't 3 points, I'm telling you. 15 games, no wins. Nobody's ever stayed up from that position.
After that game, Rob, they got a rotten run of all the big boys. They're 6 points adrift right now on the precipice of difficult matches. You know, the old bottom of Christmas. You know, they're likely to be bottom at Christmas, and we know that's tough to recover from.
You threw a question at me about what's worse. Will Eddie Howe be there at the end of the season, my friend? Will Newcastle?
What are they going to do?
I'm asking.
I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes.
You think he'll be there? He'll be there. You don't think Newcastle will go? This hasn't worked, Eddie. Off you pop.
Well, they might later into.
Yeah, that's a question.
I'm saying no. I'm saying there is a little bit of improvement.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, put two or three games together, win two and a draw.
They can go on a run.
It could look a little bit different. But, yeah, I mean, they've got to start happening soon, though, for Newcastle. Southampton 2, Leicester 2. Brendan Rodgers' team looking a little bit more like themselves, getting goals, but were disappointed in allowing Southampton to get back into the game. And Wolves 0, Burnley 0. Wolves had probably the better of the play in that one. Burnley still can't quite get their rhythm going. Another draw for them down at the bottom of the table. So they're sort of
big one for Leeds. Did you mention Leeds? Big win for them.
Oh, we didn't go. That was the last one. Leeds 1, Palace 0 on it. Late on, yeah. Good show.
Cool. Yeah, they're scrapping away a little bit, and the fans are right behind them at Elland Road, and it was a massive game. And
Penalty kick, wasn't it? It was a penalty VAR, wasn't it? Guy's put his hand up as ball came in.
It was the right call,
wasn't it? It was the right call.
Yeah.
VAR got onto it. And
so that gives Leeds a little... I think Bielsa said that Leeds United now can breathe a little bit. It gives them a little bit of... they're up to 15 points. So, big win for Leeds. And I think they will improve. Bamford, of course, to come back for them.
Okay, my friend, we're nearly 50 minutes in on our midweek podcast on match week 14. Good day for the big teams, Manchester United, City, Liverpool, Chelsea and Spurs, all got victories. And on a day when Michael Carrick ended his 15-year association with Manchester United, we look forward to the Ralph Rangnick era that starts at Crystal Palace on Sunday. We will be back on that Sunday, December the 5th. We'll recap all of match week 15. West Ham host Chelsea in the big game early on Saturday. Villa take on Leicester, so Stevie G against Brendan Rodgers, that's an interesting one. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe and stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.